It's so good to be here. I just, you know, it's been years since I did a tent meeting. Kind of reminds me of this, you know. The old, instead of saying old-timey tent meeting, let's start a new-timey tent meeting. Being here today. I just want you to know that my wife is here, and if I start going too long, she'll stand up in the back and say, it's time to go home or shut up or something. So, where are you back there, honey? You gonna give me the signal? So, anyway. You know, I appreciate, I just stand here today in amazement of what God is doing through you, through Life Community Church, and for you. Just your beginnings and where you've developed to and where you're going. And you know, the other thing that hit me is I work with a lot of churches across the country, and I was sitting here thinking about here's a church in a season that is telling us you shouldn't be building a new building, you shouldn't be building and increasing it, you should be trying to just hold on to what you have. But see, people of faith won't live that way. You know, there's a scripture in the Bible that said Isaac sowed in a land of famine. In a time that nobody else was sowing, in a time that everybody else was hoarding, Isaac sowed, Isaac gave, Isaac increased, Isaac did something to cause increase to come. And it said that when he did that, the return on that was immeasurable. That's what it means. It's so, and he reaped a hundredfold. That word, that phrase hundredfold means something that is immeasurable and invaluable. So I want to commend you as you get prepared, as you are getting ready to launch into this new adventure, to understand that God is for you, like Pastor Jamie said, and God is with you, and watch out and see what God's going to do through all this. All right? Hey, I want to do something. I know we prayed this morning, but there's a prayer that I kind of put together that sometimes I like to pray. I'd like to do that this morning. Is that okay?
Yes.
Could you do this? Just put your hand, right hand over your heart. And I want to pray this morning. Jesus, lover of our souls, thank you for living in us and through us. May all that we do flow from our deep connection with you and with others. Help us become more of a community that authentically shares each other's burdens and celebrates each other's triumphs. Listen to our heart's longings for the healing of our world. Knowing you are hearing us better than we are speaking, we offer these prayers in your holy name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. I'm going to be sharing some things with you this morning. If you're in the YouVersion app, you can go there to Life Community. The notes are in there. I may or may not follow those notes. So that's why I like this type of setting, because most settings I'm in, you know, they have the notes and it's all laid out and it's on the overhead, the screens, and you kind of got to, we don't have any of that. So I'm like cut loose. It's hard telling where we're going to go this morning. I'll try to get. So we're in Psalm 36. And to give you a little context of what's going on here, the first four verses, David's looking at the culture around him. And this is what he's basically saying. He said, man, look at everything around me. It's like crazy bad and broken. Yeah? And then we can kind of say that about 2020, right? Everything's kind of crazy bad and broken. You know, I don't know about you, but 2020 seems like it's been about 9 years long already.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yes.
It's like, dear Lord, is this eternity? Is this, you know? It's like, but then David does something that's so strategic, and I think it's so critical for us to understand and to act in the same way. So he started with the first four verses about everything that's crazy, bad, and broken. Then it stops, and it's almost like I could physically see David do this. It's like he turns and looks up to God and says, but God, here's who I know you to be. Let me read to you verses 5 and 6. It says this, your unfailing love, O Lord, is as vast as the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches beyond the clouds. Your righteousness is like the mighty mountains. Your justice like the ocean depths. You care for people and animals alike, O Lord. And all the cat lovers say, So David turns and he goes, there's all this craziness going on. There's all this, but God, here's who you are. Here's who I know you to be. You're the God of love. You're the God of faithfulness. You're the God of righteousness. And you're the God of justice. And so, see, one of the things that I've learned is that we'll never have a passionate loyalty or a firm confidence in someone we don't know. See, it's like Pastor Sean.
Uh-oh.
You know, how many years ago? How long have you been here? 5 years. 5 years ago, I met Sean. And he was a good guy. He's all right.
5 years.
He's all right. But I know Sean in a different depth today than I did 5 years ago. There is a knowing that I have of him, of his character, of how he's going to act, what he's going to do, that I didn't have 5 years ago. Why? Because we've kind of built a relationship and spent time together. And so I know him. But it's got to go beyond that. It's got to go beyond just knowing. And that's what's so critical, because with many people, it's that they know God, know of God, but they don't know God. And that's what I want to talk to you about this morning. Because the reality of it is, we have this Bible. I know many of you are using your, you know, your iPhones or whatever you got this morning. I still sometimes like the leather and the paper. How many of you like to feel the leather and the paper? There's something about it, right? So this book is actually a compilation of 66 books. Okay? Old Testament, New Testament. It has 1,189 chapters. 31,173 verses. How do you know that? Because I counted them. No, I'm just kidding. But all of those, 66 books, 1,189 chapters, 31,173 verses, have all been given to us to reveal who God is. Not just to know about him, but to know him. That's why it's so critical that we draw to the scripture, especially in times like this, as we draw to the word. Because, you know, like I said, the times are telling us, and the media is telling this. I'm like, watch very little media anymore. Why is that? Because I'm going to lend to the voice of God rather than to lend to the voice of the craziness of the media today to tell me what to do in this life and how to live this life right now. All right? So the first thing David says is that, I know God, I know you to be the God of love, and Pastor Jamie just touched upon this. But I want to expound a little bit more. I want to share with you from John chapter 6, two verses. First one's out of John chapter 6, verse 68. Here's the setting for this. Jesus is teaching this lesson, or teaching expounding on this subject. And he's pretty much, it's like this. It would be a setting like this. The only other thing is that Jesus would be sitting and everybody else would be standing. I think that's maybe a good, maybe next time you just sit and everybody else sit.
They thought I was sitting.
Then yeah. Then you would really be like Jesus. Only shorter. But.
Oh, no. Security.
Sorry, Jamie. I just had
to. Security.
Okay, let's receive an offering and go home. So Jesus is, and he's primarily speaking to a Jewish crowd. And he says some very difficult things. Some things that are very anti their culture. Things that would gone completely against the Levitical laws in which they lived by. And it's many of them, almost all of them left him. They walked away and they said, this is just too difficult. This is too hard to take. And then Jesus turns to the disciples and he says, well, what about you guys? And Peter, always being the mouthy one, says this, Lord, to whom would we go? You have the words that give eternal life. We believe and we know you are the Holy One of God. That's so critical right there. And then John chapter 4, or excuse me, 1 John chapter 4, verse 16. John is expounding on the context of love in this portion of Scripture. And he says, so we have become So we have come to know and believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. See, it's not only to know something, but it's to believe it. You got to have both working for you. There's a graphic that many times I'll use in this, and it's a picture of a brain and a heart that's connected with a ladder. There's got to be a connectivity between what you know and what you believe, if it's really going to produce the level of commitment and loyalty and faith in your life that God has called you to. How do you know and believe the love that God has for you? See, I pastored for 25 years, and I would say that the most repetitive thing that I dealt with was people was this issue. It wasn't so much the issue as, do I love God? You ask, do you love God? Like, yeah, I love God. Does God love you? That's the thing they struggled with. Does God really love me? And why is it? Because we all know us. We all know our own issues, right? We all know our own failings. We all know, if I can say this, we all know our own sin. And we look at those things and we say, God, could you really love me because of that? Because I know my issues. I know my sins. I know the way that I get angry sometimes. I know the things that I say sometimes, the things that I do sometimes. Could you really love me even through that? And God says, yes. And you go, well, how do I know? And this scripture alone tells us. This scripture alone is what the thing that really confirmed in me that I believed and I knew that God loved me. In Romans chapter 5, verse 8, it says this: the love of God was revealed to us in this way, that while we were yet sinners, Jesus Christ died for us. I don't know about you, but that's radical to me. That's radical to me. That transformed my life. In the day and the time that I was rejecting God, didn't want anything to do with God, mocking Christianity, saying that's a bunch of hooey. A little bit different terms, but you get the point. God said, I loved you enough in that state to die for you. Man. So I want to ask you this morning, What is it that you have settled between you and God? What have you settled between you and God? Have you settled the love issue, that God really loves you? It's like Pastor Jamie said, beyond what we've done, what we've said, and all those things. Have you settled the forgiveness issue, that God could really forgive you? Have you settled the issue that God really wants to have a relationship with you? You know, one of the things I think too is good for us to understand is that God likes you. Because that's the other thing with this. You know, a lot of people say, well, I know God has to love me, but does he have to like me? Yeah, he likes you. There's a scripture that says that God looks at us as the desire of his heart. What's that mean? It means that God likes you. He likes being around you. He likes being with you. He likes being in your life. He likes you being in his life. Okay? So have you settled that issue? If not, you need to. Because you'll never live your life in the depth and in the place of confidence until you settle that for yourself. Because here's the thing. If you haven't settled it for you, then you're probably going to live your life off of somebody else's beliefs. And that's dangerous. I found myself back in 1996, was reading a book, and it proposed this question: why do you believe what you believe? And it really got me to searching myself and really begin to search the scriptures. And I realized that some of the things, the beliefs that I had in my belief system didn't line up with that book. And I realized that the reason I was believing this is because somebody told me to believe that. And so I had to go and retool my theology, my belief system, but lined up with this book so that I could live off of my own relationship with God, my own knowing of God, and not somebody else's. Because if you're living off of, or somebody else's beliefs, you're subjective to their pains and their hurts and their unbeliefs.
That's good.
That's what time the pastor, you know, ask people, you know, what's God like? And about 5 minutes into the conversation, God looks a lot like them. Well, this is what God likes, and this is what God doesn't like. This is what God's okay with, and this is what God's not okay with. It's like, that's interesting, because some of the things that you're telling me that God's good with is contrary to the scriptures.
It's good.
And see, if you're not careful, then you begin to live off of somebody else's subjective beliefs, and they're wrong. Maybe not intentionally, but they're wrong. Who do you know God to be? Do you know God? Or do you just know about Him? I challenge you. Get to know Him. Especially in these days, because it's knowing. The knowing we have of God right now is that what is what fixed us. It keeps us from being just reactive to everything. And there's so many things to be reactive to today. And the world is reacting, and they're looking for something of stability. And when they see you and I not shaken, not moved, not going crazy, then they're going, what is it? What is it? It's a wasp. People, I don't want to get into that. People are kind of uptight right now. Be careful with social media. Because the greatest detriment to social media, especially right now, it's draining you of all your emotions, and all you're doing is giving God your leftover emotions. Be careful, all right? Let's talk about righteousness, or excuse me, faithfulness. David said, I know you as faithful. Psalm 119, verse 89, 90 says, forever, O Lord, your word is firmly fixed in heavens. Your faithfulness endures to all generations. We're a generation, right? So this word tells me that God's faithfulness is for us. It's for us. In Romans chapter 3, verses 3 and 4 says, what if some were unfaithful? Does their faithfulness nullify the faithfulness of God? By no means. Just because maybe some religious system or even some individual failed you doesn't mean that God's going to fail you. The reason that I rejected God for so many years is because a religious person, because a person to me that represented God failed me. And I said, if that's God, I don't want anything to do with it. And so for years I rejected God. Why? Because someone failed, a man failed. And I thought because I put my trust and confidence in a man, because they feel that means God must be a failure. And that is so contrary to the scripture. God will not fail. God is faithful. I can tell when I get around people who know God as a God of faithfulness and have been touched by the faithfulness of God. Why? They're people of gratitude. They're people that just live their lives from a level of thankfulness. I'm thankful. Drive down here this morning, I was telling my wife, I said, we were talking about this, and I said, I can always tell the people that know God as a faithful God, experientially, and just the encounter, but because of gratitude. And if you don't have gratitude in your life, the absence of gratitude produces cynicism. People that aren't thankful become cynics. They're angry at everything. They don't believe in anything. They have trouble with everything and everyone. I don't know how you can live your life that way. With all the blessings and the attributes that we have in our lives. So if you're maybe challenged with, say, maybe you're going through something, stop and just begin to thank God. Thank you, say, Lord, thank you that I'm here today. I'm with my friends. Thank you, Lord, that I was able to drive in a car here. Mm-hmm. You say, well, I didn't have a car. I walked. Thank you, Lord, that I have shoes on my feet. Find something to be thankful for. Why? Because it will combat the cynicism that is rampant within our culture today. Sure, 2020 is a crazy year. But something's going to happen. I don't know what's going to happen, but something's going to happen. God is going to break through in this nation. In some way, in some level, and it will be transformative. It will be undeniable. God is going to break through in this nation and into our lives. You watch, you mark my word. And that's the hope. Why? Because I know God is faithful. And He's faithful to every generation. I could go on and on about that. Let's talk about righteousness. It's kind of one of those big, long words, you know. In most terms, you'll find that righteousness talks about God's standard of living, God's standard, God's required standing. This is what God, you know, how God wants us to live. It's interesting, in David's time, the word had a little bit different meaning. In David's time and in their culture, the word righteousness meant God's path. See, there were a nomadic people in David's time. A lot of them were herdsmen, whether it was sheep, goats, whatever. And so they moved. And any of you been to Israel? Anybody been to Israel? If you go to Israel, you'll still see these nomadic peoples. It just amazed me as, you know, when I saw them out in the desert, there were herds in their big black tents, and they were moving from different place to different place. Now, this word means the path of God. Why? Why was that so critical? Because it was critical that they would move from pasture to pasture, campsite to campsite, watering hole to watering hole. That's literally what it meant, because that meant life to them. It was so critical that they follow these established paths. So, because if they got off, it's like Proverbs 14 says, there is a way that seems right unto man, but the end thereof is what? Death. If you get off the path, it could mean death. Death to what? Maybe death to a dream. Death to your hope. Death to a purpose. Death to a love. And God's saying, I have a path for you. Because the pasture to pasture, that's a place of nourishment. There's a place that God wants to take you to nourish you, to keep you strong. That's so critical for today, to stay nourished in the presence of God, to stay nourished through the Word of God. And then watering hole to watering hole, that's a place of refreshing. You know, I've been up here pontificating for about, what, 15, 20 minutes already? My mouth's starting to get a little dry. And the thing I'm thinking about is water. No, I don't think about water. Don't do that. I'm just using it. And water right now just seems so refreshing. So how many of you forgot to bring water with you this morning? You're like, great. A long-winded preacher, no water. That's an equation for a disaster right there. You'd be surprised how many people might not have taken a drink. Power of suggestion. See, if you may or may not realize it right now, but this time right now, 2020, the craziness of 2020 can be a time of refreshing.
That's good.
It can really be a time of refreshing.
That's good.
When this all hit, my wife and I had a conversation, and I said, you know, we can do one of two things in this. We can either react to this or we can respond to this.
That's good.
And I said, I've lived long enough, just a little bit older than Jamie, I've lived long enough to realize that reacting doesn't work. So let's figure out how we're going to respond to this. And so we made a decision. We determined that we were going to respond to this. And one of the things I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, what do you want me to do during this season? He said, I want you to listen. I want you to listen to me, be more intent to listen to me and to listen to people. And I can't tell you how refreshing that has been to hear what it is that God is saying to me through this time and to take the time to listen to people so that I'm able to respond to them rather than to react to them. Yeah, I was in Costco one day, early on, probably second or third week of all this craziness that hit, getting a prescription, and there was a guy that he was looking for something, rubbing alcohol or something. The pharmacist come around to help him, and this guy just started yelling at the pharmacist, stay away from me, stay away from me, stay away from me. I kind of wanted to react a little bit because he was being so rude to the pharmacist who was just trying to help him. But I stopped and I said, you got to understand where he's at, Mike. You got to understand what's going on. Listen to him. It's just, it's where he's at. He's got fear. He's got fear. I kind of wanted to say, dude, go home. You're in the wrong place. You're in Costco. There's 300 other people in here. Go home. That's what I wanted to do. But I just stepped back and I just took a moment and I just said, Lord, help this guy. Help him. I couldn't live in that place. See, there's a way that God wants us to live. And what these, and then the last part of this was going from, we went from pasture to pasture, watering hole, and campsite to campsite. You know, it's interesting, if you go back into Numbers chapter 33, God told Moses as they were leaving Egypt, he said, I want you to write down, I want you to record every place that you camp. And there were 42 encampments that the children of Israel had as they journeyed through the wilderness. Why do you think God wanted them to do that? Because God wanted them to recognize there was a process of progress. There was a journey of progress he was taking them on. So from this, we find that there is a rhythm that God takes us through. And we need it. We need to know this. We need to know him as a God who has us on a journey. So we go from place of strength to refreshing to what? Progress. And then we're back to the place of strengthening, refreshing, and progress. See, you are in a season of progress right now. And you'll go through this. And believe me, I've done enough building campaigns and enough building projects to know that after this season of progress, you're going to need some refreshing. But you'll get to do it together. You get to celebrate it together. And that's what's so wild about this. That's what's so good about this. Okay? And the last thing I'm going to talk to you about is God's justice. God is a God of justice. In Micah chapter 6, verse 8, Micah records this, that he has told you, O God, he being God has told you, O man, what is good? And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God? I saw this, maybe some of you saw this, I think it was posted on Facebook or something, but it was a sign that was on the door of a Starbucks. It says, today you could be standing next to someone who's trying their best not to fall apart. Whatever you do today, do it with kindness in your heart. That's so true. You don't know at the grocery store, at Walmart, at the gas station, on your job. You don't know many times what people are dealing with through all of this craziness. And their lives are about ready to fall apart. And you can either help to be a healing to them or a greater wound. But in knowing God, that he's a God of justice, he wants to take and try to take wrong things and make them right. Is that our approach to that? Is that our heart to that? pick things that are wrong. And there's plenty of, like I said, I don't want to beat that horse. But how about pursuing in your life to be able to help make something right for somebody? Let me give you a couple of justice views and then we'll be done. How are we doing on time? Plus or minus on the side of 30 minutes.
Right at it.
The reason I ask is because there's this old saying that says, blessed are the short-winded, for they shall be invited again. So. Here's a view. I want to propose to you, here's a view. May I have the eyes to see this as a good world in need of restoration rather than a bad world and an obstacle to my personal peace and rest. Here's another view. The great mission we have been entrusted with is not about adding value to something worthless, but restoring value to something priceless. This day, this time, the person you're sitting next to is priceless in the eyes of God. People need to be priceless, no matter how cantankerous they are. Believe me. Like I said, I pastored for 5 years. I think I've told Jamie this. I work with a lot of the young church planters, and I tell them this. I said, if somebody tells me that they've been in ministry for any given amount of time, I look at how straight, whether they sit straight up or they sit at an angle. Is why that? I said, because if you've been in ministry for any amount of time, one cheek of your butt has been chewed off. Okay? I want to talk about feeding cynicism. But even with the people that seem to be adversarial to us, we have to understand they are priceless to God. So they need to be priceless to us. If I could ask, who is the individual that was incarcerated in time? Are they here? Okay. I'm so thankful you're here.
Yeah.
I really am. I spent 5 years developing ministries in federal and state prisons. And I have such a heart for the men and women who have been incarcerated because I learned to understand they were priceless. Many times they've been rejected by society. But see, spending those years with them every week, many of them multiple hours a day, I began to see them in their humanity, who they were, and come to understand that they were priceless. You want to understand why sometimes God is so long-suffering and patient with people we wouldn't be? Because he sees them differently than we see them.
Good.
We need to, as David did, we need to catch the eye of God for people. And to see them as priceless. You okay with that?
Amen. Amen.
So there's this holy rhythm that God creates for us. And here it is. Lord, you love me. You're faithful. You have a holy rhythm for my life. And you will help me see the divine value in the world around me. That's what David was saying in those two verses. Let me read it to you one more time. Lord, you love me, you are faithful, you have a holy rhythm for my life, and you will help me see the divine value in the world around me. Look around. We're surrounded by a divine value. It's called people. It's called people. Why don't you all stand with me this morning? I want to pray for you. Before I pray for you, I want to give you a challenge. I want to challenge you this week to go into the Psalms. Just pick a psalm. And before you read it, pray. And say, Lord, reveal something to me of you that I have yet to see. Show me something that I may know you in a greater way than I know you today. Can you do that for me?
Amen.
You got the day off tomorrow? Might be a good time to start it, all right? Lord Jesus, these are amazing times that we live in. Everything that the culture is throwing at us is so unorthodox. But you called us a unique people. You called us your people. And so my prayer today, in being a man of God, or woman of God, is that we would, in our uniqueness, respond to the unorthodox times that we are in, that people may see you, that you may be revealed through our lives, and our words, our actions, our compassions, our graces, our wisdoms. It's because we know you, God. And I thank you that you love us. You love us immeasurably.